Welcome to Us and My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life Presents Be Well. Our Wednesday morning show is all about health tips, tricks, and ways to help live a healthy, happier life with diabetes. And today we're going to continue our conversation about carbs. Because there's so many misconceptions out there, and there's so many ways to eat healthy and have carbs that you need in your life. And ways to sneak other things into your food, no matter being a diabetic or not, just wanting to live a little bit healthier, happier lifestyle. Derek, question for you, because I know you were working on losing some weight and exercising and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
Good.
Don't sound like it's going the best.
No.
What are you struggling with?
Trying to get down to 240.
Now, you know, it's not always just about the weight. You know, and that's a misconception. We look at solely the pounds or kilos, depending on where you are, as an indicator of losing weight. We use the scale and we get disappointed because the scale doesn't always move as fast or as often as we want it to. Scale or the weight is only one of many different tools you use to live a healthier lifestyle. But also to be happy. No. Derek, why do you want to lose weight so much?
To build more muscle.
You do know, right, that muscle weighs more than fat.
It does.
So if you're working hard on building muscle, lost a train of thought. If you're working on building muscle, now are you using, you know, you're looking at the scale. How is that helping you? If you're just looking at the scale to about losing weight.
It The scale says I'm down to 249 pounds.
No. All right. So your scale's going down, but are your clothes getting a little bit looser?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I say don't use just a scale alone. When you're looking to lose weight and be healthier or to gain more muscle mass, you got to look also on how your clothes fit. Is a good indicator that you're losing weight.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the big tools to losing weight is a healthy diet.
Healthy diet.
And we're in this misconception right now that carbs are bad. And some carbs are bad.
Is the food going to be on?
I have no idea.
Is she supposed to be on today?
She's supposed to be, but she didn't show up.
Okay.
That's okay. You do know, right, that I'm also a certified nutritionist?
You are.
Yeah, Mom.
I am.
Yeah, I have to lay down.
Okay. My little one has a headache, so she don't feel good, so she's going to go lay back down. No, I actually got certified nutrition in the Army.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a certified nutritionist.
See, I have a strong belief. And that's also what I was trained, is how food helps you.
Yeah.
More than just being a comfort. Now, with carbs, you have a couple different kinds. You have carbohydrates are one of the three main nutrients you need with along with protein and fat. Yes, you need fat in your diet for it to function properly. See, carbohydrates give you majority of your energy you need to function. Carbs you want to eat are the ones that are found in whole grains and fruits and vegetables that are slowly digested. The reason why for everybody carbs are important, and the correct carbs, is it helps your blood sugar levels. And for people who aren't diabetic, it helps prevent diabetes down the road. And for people who are diabetic, it helps them, one, regulate their sugars and lower their sugar levels down the road. It also helps you maintain your healthy weight. That's also a source of fiber. So, when you're cooking and it calls for different things, you know, oil or things like that, there's so many alternative food sources you can use
Bam, bam.
Ariana, go. I'm busy right now. That you can use when you doing eating different things. I am as prepared today as I should have been because I have the other computer. I forgot to. Charged my computer last night. No, figuring out how to eat is the hardest thing to do. And I know when I was diabetic, that was the hardest thing to do was figure out how to count the carbs. Excuse me. For some reason, my computer's not loading. Give me 1 minute. You know, there's so many different tools and tricks out there for counting carbs. There's different apps. And the easiest way to figure this out is one serving of carbs is 15 grams of carbs. And, you know, adding it all up and all this other stuff can be, you know, a challenge. First, really, keeping a diary. And that helps you break everything down. So counting carbs or carbohydrates, keeping track of your carbs in all your meals, your snacks, your drinks, can help you match your activity level and the medicine to the food you eat. So with diabetes, you count carbs to make managing your blood sugar level easier. It helps you stay healthier, helps you reduce your blood sugar levels, it prevents complications. And if you're taking insulin at mealtime, you count the carbs to match your insulin dose, which your doctor will sit and work with you and figure out, you know, what you need. So carbs are measured in grams. On packaged foods, you can find total carb grams on the labels. Or use a carb counting app, or there's plenty of lists. Now, for meal planning, basically one carb serving is about 15 grams of carbs. And this isn't always the same depending on the food you eat. You know, you count one small baked potato as one serving. However, that small baked potato actually contains 30 grams of carbs. So you'd count it as two. So when you're sitting here figuring all this out, this all sounds really confusing, and it can. This is where it's so crucial to sit down with your dietitian or your nutritionist to talk about how to count carbs. But we're going to switch gears today because I know a little bit about diabetes. I don't specialize in it. I specialize in working with families and kids and helping them establish a healthy meal. So we're going to go more with that today. And all the misconception is that how we deal with food as adults doesn't affect our kids. And the thing is how we talk about ourselves, how we talk about food affects our kids greatly. And so we need to really be mindful, in a sense, of how we interpret and do things around our kids. And the misconception is, you know, that we're going to put our kids on low-carb, low-carbohydrate diets. But kids, especially the younger they are, and I'm not saying feed them all this garbage, they need 50 to 60% of their calories from carbohydrates. But you want to make sure when you're feeding your kids this stuff, you're giving them the healthy options first. And not filling, you know, the only time they really recommend kids having low carb diets is if they are diabetic. And this is where, you have to find alternatives to help them. You really, you use the low carb for losing weight and helping them maintain low sugar levels. And when they're doing this low carb for kids with diabetes, you want to make sure that it's strongly vegetable based with adequate protein. And try to keep as much processed food out as possible. And it helps them to start building that track of being able to eat for themselves and, you know, be proud that they're making the right choices on themselves. Well, we all know that sugar is a form of a carbohydrate, and it breaks down in our bodies. And a lot of the school box lunches, especially kids in school, they're not wearing down as much of that sugar after they eat. So that's where you get a lot of the sugar spikes. When you're looking for meals, you know, you got to remember vitamins A, D, E, and K are fat-soluble vitamins and require the presence of fat in the diet to be absorbed. So you want to use foods with natural fat sources to absorb these meals. An average healthy school lunch should have under 30 grams of carbs. And the best way to get kids to follow these diets is got to make it, it's not even a diet, it's a lifestyle, is making it something they want to do. And getting them to an understanding and being patient with them. So it's going to take a little while to change. It's going to take a while for kids to, you know, accept that, especially when they're just diagnosed, that, you know, their life is going to change and they're going to have to eat this way. And punishing them or putting them down for not wanting to eat this way or struggling with it or having mistakes causes more problems and starts to develop negative feelings and negative thoughts with food, and especially these diets. Help them pick out, let them help pick out different meal ideas and foods for them. You know, with the growing epidemic of obesity, especially in kids, and the increase in diabetes in kids due to lack of inactivity. You know, the first thing is, you know, when you're setting up your meal plan, making sure that kids are they have an exercise regimen along with it, which helps keep your sugars regulated and everything else. When we're looking at, you know, there's so many diets out there. There's so many things out there. And trying to figure out what is safe and what is right. As long as your kids get stuff from all the food groups, and get enough in their diets, they're happy, they're healthy, they're energetic, then you know what they're doing is right. And they're losing the weight. First step is reducing to and going to eliminating the processed sugars and carbs. And how much you remove it is up to you. And the health reasons for it. No. Teaching them to eat properly is the first key. No. Their meals should be based on whole foods, unprocessed foods, nutrient-dense foods. Going back to basics, meat, fruits, nuts, seeds, and healthy fats. One is not a low carb. About the fruits, the vegetables, the healthy food. The other one, I'm happy. And teaching them how important it is to have food from each food group. You know, growing up, it was in my plate, or the food pyramid. Now I switch it to the plate. What's really cool is you can actually buy a plate. My plate, and it's got little dividers. It tells you exactly how much meat they should have, how much vegetables, based on the size that fits in on the plate, in those dividers. Kids that are healthy, you don't need to be as restrictive with their diet. Kids that are generally healthy and active, you want to use it more as a teaching and encouragement. This is where kids, the stigma about food, because of how we react and how we encourage the food. Subway is a healthy alternative, but they're finding out that the best have a lot of sugar in them, and it's not such a healthy way to go. What you want to do is think about how many home-cooked meals they had a week. How many fruits and vegetables did they eat? What did they drink? Drink water? They drink coffee. And look at what you're eating. When you're introducing these low-carb diets for kids, you want to do it in a slow process. You know, cutting out the sugars and stuff. You want to take it from letting them eat whatever they want one day to the next day, they can't have anything. They need to be told and explained why they change what they're eating and do it in a process so that they don't feel like they lost all the power. Another thing is with kids, you want to make sure that when they do eat, they're making healthy choices, but they're eating when they're hungry, not eating just to snack and fill. For something to do. You know, as adults, we tend to do this as much, too, is, you know, you're bored, you eat. You're upset, you eat. You know, and eating healthy alternatives. And making it fun. You know, putting a little bit of peanut butter and raisins on celery that different things to make it more fun. You know, doing it as a family, trying out new foods. As a family. And like what we have in our house, we call it the North. So you have to try it. It doesn't mean you have to like it. Making sure that they have healthy food. They require it for kids to be able to grow. Also, for your bodies to absorb all the proper nutrients, some of them are fat soluble. You need the fat in your body for them to grow. Making sure they get a protein. Making sure that they have quality nutrient-dense carbohydrates. More than what you think. Nutrient-dense carbohydrates such as fat, dairy, nuts, seeds, berries, and vegetables should be the staple of the source of carbs that they eat. Fruits and vegetables should never be seen as an equal. Fruits are high in carbs, especially sugar. And when you have fruit, it should be whole fruit. Because whole fruit contains the fiber and the nutrients. Well, and getting kids to eat veggies in a whole can be challenging. And this is where, as parents, we tend to and allow them to refuse to eat vegetables? And all they worry about, the more we try to force it, the more they're going to refuse it, the more they end up with a bad notation, a bad thought about it, and establish it as a punishment. That's a fine line you walk. And the first step to getting them to do this, first of all, is having the rule, you have to try it. Have to actually take a bite, put it in your mouth, and swallow it. You have to try everything on your plate. You don't have to eat it all. You have to try it. And most kids don't like things that are new or different from what they're used to. So figure out a game plan. Take that veggie. And how often are you going to introduce it to them? Are you going to do it once a week? Twice a week? That particular bed that they don't want to try a continual staple on their plate for a period of time. Eventually they'll eat it and not like it. Or they're going to like it. And if they don't, if try it, and after a period of time, they just don't like it. There's some veggies you're not going to like. I don't like lima beans. But when you do that, then you can find an alternative. And it's not something that they're not liking because it's more different. Taking that veggie and making an alternative. You know, like my son, for instance, will not eat vegetables. Period. He's autistic, so I don't know what it is. But we make spaghetti. And so instead of just doing pasta, buy the zucchini noodles. And we'll do half and half. We'll mix. So he gets some veggies mixed with his food and doesn't realize it. Yes, potatoes are good for you, but also what you can do is let them flavor it. But potatoes, when you make mashed potatoes, make mashed cauliflower at the same time and mix it. Growing up, there was a treat my mom always made us, and it was actually with dark chocolate, coconut, just a little bit of powdered sugar, but it was mashed potatoes. And you mixed it all together, rolled it into balls, and then let it cool and harden, and you roll it in dark chocolate. A little bit more of that is, if you're making something, you really like one thing, you're going to like this. A little extra of what they like on their plate. And negotiate with them, because they say, that's too much, I don't want to eat all that. Okay, well, you only need to eat half of this if you eat all of this or some of this. A little reverse psychology. Another alternative is, well, not an alternative, another tool is letting them pick what they want to eat within reason. Giving them an option of A or B. Letting them decide, okay, here's A, B. what do you want? And giving them a little bit of the power, because, you know, that power, kids don't have a lot of power. And so one of the ways that they try to insert their power is to turn around and control what they eat or other avenues of things they don't want to do. So empowering them to be able to help make those choices, one, teaches them to make the right choices, but also encourages them to give them the power back in a sneaky way and still eat healthy. So we're almost out of time for today. I'm sorry. I struggled a little bit in the beginning because I didn't prepare anything because our usual host is April. And that's what she specializes in, diabetes. I come across it not very often. Like I said, I specialize in working with families and kids, getting them to eat. Because that's the struggle. So thank you for joining me. We'll see you back here at noon where I will be hosting our Wednesday show. Have a good day, and I'll see you later. Bye for now.